The Talk of the Northwest, The Greg Hughes Show on Highland Radio.
And here we go for another show. It's Tuesday, the 19th of May, 2026, 3 minutes past nine. You're very welcome along to the programme. Thank you so much for choosing us each and every morning. It's so appreciated. And we deliver, hopefully, because we've got a packed 2 hours coming up, keeping you across all the big stories affecting us here in the Northwest and beyond. Community Garda information is coming up for you after 10 o'clock and so much more besides. Right, so We want you involved. We need you involved in the conversation. If you want to perhaps comment on what we're talking about on the show, or if you want to raise your own topics, pass on some good news, whatever it might be. 086 60 25000 is the WhatsApp and text number. 086 60 25000. Give us a call alternatively on 074 91 25000 or email comments at highlandradio.com. Now, if you want to watch the programme, we invite you to do so via YouTube. It's the most flexible for you, perhaps. You can watch on your smart TV or your Fire Stick. Just type in Highland Radio Ireland and we're live there for you to watch the show and the majority of guests that are on it. We're on Facebook as well. Right, now, just if you're out in the roads, I've just got a notification that there is a road traffic collision in the Burt area. So if you are approaching that area, please do so cautiously. We're not sure of the extent of that, but we just have received reports of a road traffic collision at Burt. So just as I say, hopefully everybody's fine. I don't know. We just haven't got those details yet. But if you're approaching that area and it's a busy stretch of the road, just be conscious of that. I believe emergency services are on the scene there. We'll keep you updated with that or any developments on that over the course of this morning. Let's have a look at the newspapers. Dodgy boxes. The press is obsessed with dodgy boxes. And I suppose you can understand why. You know, you've got the likes of Sky and BT and all other companies that like to charge for their services, having them provided to potential customers at a greatly discounted price. Well, Sky's up the tempo a little bit in relation to this because they've sent out warning letters now to individual dodgy box owners. Heretofore, they've been trying to target those supplying the services or the resellers. And I wonder if anyone in the Northwest has received one of these letters from Sky. Maybe you could let us know if you did. It'd be interesting. But reading on here in the Irish Independent, around 200 dodgy box users across Ireland have received legal letters from Sky threatening action if they pay for illegal streaming services again. The letters sent to users, mostly in County Wexford, asked them to sign a settlement within 14 days, including an undertaking to never again subscribe to an illegal IPTV server. The letters seen by the Irish Independent warn that other rival sports broadcasters, including Clubber TV, League of Ireland TV, GEA Plus and Premier Sports, have backed Sky's action and that users could face firm action from those rival media operations if they failed to comply. The warning also stated that failure to sign the settlement could mean Sky treating the matter as unresolved, potentially issuing a legal claim for a breach of copyright. I don't know what's gone on here. I suspect what's happened is they've got access to a supplier's contacts. I'm not sure about GDPR. Word, I've just had a complete brain fog. GDPR, if they've got this information from a third party. But anyway, I'm sure that's perfectly fine. But obviously, they want this information to get out there to discourage from people from using these services. We'll see if there's much more of that. I picked out this story. Well, it was easy to do so because it's right on the front page of the Irish Times. And it's kind of interesting because you might remember last week we had Paula Leonard in from Alcohol Ireland, and she was talking about a film that was being shown, and it was about the influence of, partly at least, about the influence of, you know, big corporations, big business on politicians, on sort of, you know, legislation and so on and so forth. And this story just copper fastens that is happening all of the time. Irish diplomats and officials in Brussels were privately advised to be on guard to rebuff approaches made by lobbyists working for the tobacco industry, internal emails show. In a warning circulated late last year, Irish officials were directed to avoid meeting lobbyists from big tobacco to discuss regulation and controls on cigarettes and other nicotine products. The note was sent to the more than 200 staff working in the Republic permanent representation to the European Union. Kate Moran, the deputy head of Ireland's diplomatic mission to the EU, advised colleagues of the government's long-standing policy intended to stop the tobacco industry influencing the political system. So there you are. It's quite interesting, isn't it? Still, you would have people, and I think we can probably, there will be people that will have the opinion that if people want to smoke, they should be able to smoke. It's their own business, their own lives, etc. But I think we can all agree, no one's going to say that smoking is not incredibly bad for you. It's not just killing you through cancer, but it's obviously the heart disease, COPD, all of the other things that come with that. I think we all, can't we, agree that it's really dangerous. It's so crazy in 2026 that the companies behind these deadly products are actively, you know, actively trying to influence policy as it relates to their sale and supply. But obviously Irish diplomats have been told to ignore these lobbyists in that regard. I just think it's interesting because it adds on to that story about that film that Ms Leonard was talking to us about last week. The Irish Daily Mail this morning, the government fear a proposed salary hike for RTE Director General Kevin Backhurst will prompt a flurry of claims from its star talent, including Patrick Kielty. A new series of pay irregularities at RTE have been disclosed by a scoping exercise demanded by the media minister Patrick O'Donovan and are to emerge in the coming days in the wake of revelations about high-profile presenter Derek Mooney last week. Top government will today move to have RTE's finances audited by the state's spending watchdog, the Controller and Auditor General. Ministers have also told the Irish Daily Mail that they fear that there will be requests for pay rises, including from Late Late Show presenter Kielty, if they rubber stamp a mooted salary hike of €20,000 for Mr. Backhurst. Wow. I mean, is pay not linked to performance? I would have thought it was. Just a wee update, because again, I know many of you keep an eye on the potential for further strike action from ambulance drivers, so the talks are ongoing. Unions expect difficult and challenging talks with the HSE over a paramedic pay row. This is from the Mirror. The HSE entered into direct talks with union representing ambulance workers at the Labour Court yesterday. A planned strike for today had been called off as the two sides entered negotiations after a 24-hour work stoppage last week. And the Labour Court held a meeting with unions representing workers in the National Ambulance Service on Thursday and a separate engagement with the HSC and called them back for direct talks yesterday. Paramedics and emergency medical technicians in SIPDU and union have been engaged in a work to rule amid a dispute over paying conditions, and the unions say qualifications, clinical responsibilities and operational duties of emergency medical technicians, paramedics, advanced paramedics, paramedic specialists and paramedic supervisors have expanded significantly in recent years. Let's hope that that is resolved without delay this week, in fact. A lot has been written about Tommy Fleming, perhaps more than the story deserves. But anyway, singer Tom. And what's interesting about this story, now Tommy Fleming has been on the show in the past, and Tommy Fleming will be on this show into the future, possibly. And the one thing that seems to be missing from all of this, it's almost like, you know, now that he's come out as gay, it's almost like that's the story, which he probably is, don't get me wrong. But you do have to think on his wife and other members of the family, and he has admitted how he behaved whilst in that relationship and the impact it had on them, and the fact that this has all really come to the fore since a voice note, a phone call was released. And listen, it's just interesting how stories are covered in that. I'm not saying he should face criticism. I'm not saying that because, you know, everyone has a journey in life and everyone deserves a happy life. It's just that if he hadn't come out of gay, I just wonder, would it be so celebrated that he's ended his marriage? Do you understand? And it's just, I just thinking on his wife as well too, and I'm sure he is. I'm only going by the media coverage. Singer Tommy Fleming received a standing ovation at his first show since coming out as gay, so they all stood up and clapped, which is great. The folk star, who said he was finally living my truth, received a rapturous response when he walked on stage at the Riverbank Arts Theatre in Newbridge Kildare on Saturday night. Tommy's concert came just 24 hours after an explosive tell-all interview on News Talk in which he admitted, "I had been living a lie for all of my life, really, and that he was, and that was that I'm gay." Again, you know, like, we all have to be conscious of our responsibilities. That means that his partner was also forced to live a lie because presumably she thought she was in a happy marriage. And as I say, it's great for him, but often it just seems to be that the other person kind of gets overlooked, if that makes sense. And I'm not being critical of him, and I'm not having, it's nothing to do with sexuality, and he really should live his best life. I just think it's kind of, the coverage is more a celebration of him and his discovery, and there seems to be very little reflection on the implications that might have for other people. But anyway, listen, it's showbiz and that's fine, and it's not something I'm too worried about. Finally, in the Irish Daily Star, who will you be supporting in the World Cup? Will you be supporting England? Now, don't forget, many of you out there support English teams and support them passionately, almost religiously. So maybe there's an expectation that you might support the English team because many of the players that you support play for that team potentially. But no, 13%, just 1 in 10, a little over 1 in 10 of Irish fans will be cheering on England at the World Cup this summer. A shock new poll has revealed that Irish fans are gearing up to do the unthinkable, cheer on England at the World Cup. It's a bitter pill to swallow that the boys in green won't be on the plane to the tournament in North America. But instead of wallowing in misery, it seems thousands of us are ready to bury the hatchet and hope football comes home. A new survey by Ticketmaster of 1,500 Irish sports fans, around 13%, have confessed that they plan to support England during the tournament. Are these maybe people from England living here? I don't know. I don't think 13 is a number to be celebrated anyway, but there you go. Now, obviously on the show yesterday, following the tragic events of the weekend, we were talking and reflecting on those and also moved into the conversation about, you know, the contributing factors. We're not talking about those actual instances, but driver behaviour, vehicle condition, roads condition. And I did reference yesterday to Councillor Paul Canning, the Cathaoirleach, that, you know, in fairness to our local representatives, they are on a weekly, daily basis highlighting, often in their own areas, you know, obvious deficiencies in our roads network, which can contribute potentially to, you know, serious injury and indeed death. Councillor John Seamus O'Farrell joins me on the show now. Thank you very much, John Seamus. How are you keeping?
I'm keeping well. Imagine why, Greg.
Imagine why. Now, you've been highlighting concerns of safety in the Bryn Lach area.
Yes, this has happened. An accident happened here on Sunday night, late Sunday morning, where a car went off the road and at Kyle's buses, they call the corner, and there's a 20-foot drop, as you can see by the video that I done yesterday, and there's young children living at the adjacent house at this corner. And luckily, it happened at night. You can imagine if it was during the day, children out playing in the back of the house there and with their trampoline and everything. And I'm raising this all the time in relation to, you know, crash barriers at certain locations. And this is one area that I feel that the Donegal County Council will need to put a crash barrier, because it is a dangerous corner. If you're, it's a left-hand bend going into it, and on one side there's a wall which you are blinded, that there's no line of vision as you go around the corner to see oncoming traffic or pedestrians either. So there's two issues at this corner which I would like to see raised at the council later on today, that I will be meeting Donegal County Council in relation to this, in relation to roads. But the barriers, every time that 37 councillors and Donegal are raising this all the time in relation to barriers, and there seems to be no funding. Now, last week, it's all not doom and gloom, but last week we were informed that the roads committee, that or a roads meeting in Lifford, that there is some funding available for crash barriers, which I'm delighted that has come, but we need more. So we go to the TII every year before Christmas with our wish list and certain projects. Roads and crash barriers would be our number one. And to date, we haven't received much funding for the crash barriers down through the years. with the ongoing road accidents and stuff, and I'm sure that the local councillors out in every municipal district know their own areas and the black spots that are these accidents are happening and the need for crash barriers.
Yeah, you see, sometimes we get a warning and sometimes we don't. On this occasion in Brenlach, we did. Now, in the video which our viewers are watching and will have to describe for radio listeners, I see a kid's trampoline that's flattened. Do we know if yes. that was as a result of the car going into the house, effectively the house property?
Yeah, that was a result of the car going top of the trampoline once it left the road. Now there's an embankment there of a 10-foot embankment at that corner, which is very, very dangerous. And again, there's no footpath. It's outside the speed limits, and we're trying to get footpaths there. And a quarter of a mile from Tadjack and Glasha, and we do get a lot of tourists into the area staying in Tadjack, and the amount of local students, or not local students, but summer students that we get into the area as well, using our roads. And they're not familiar with the dangers of the roads in rural Ireland coming from the cities and stuff. And again, footpaths is another issue that we have as local councillors, that the funding now seems to be going into the greenways and not into footpaths outside the speed limits. They don't look at footpaths outside the speed limits, and which I think in rural Ireland, we need the footpaths to protect people walking the sides of the road.
Now, I know the answer to this question, but just given our roads network and the expanse of it, and you would know from all the other councillors hearing about individual concerns in their areas, is it realistic for us to expect every problem that we identify to be repaired or funded for a footpath or a barrier? You know what I mean? Or do we have to look at alternatives? Is there going to be funding announced anytime soon for this corner at Brenlach?
Well, I don't think so. Hopefully the day now that I will bring this to the council, like I said, and Dunloe later on today.
Yeah.
And hopefully that the will fund become available. Like I said, I raised this a number of times in relation to crash barriers. If you're familiar with the Errigal Dunluey, there's
course,
barriers
yeah.
there that have been installed 20 years ago under the Courage Hotel. Most of them are timber barriers. And they're rotten, and some of them are damaged. And trying to get funding to replace them is nearly impossible. But it's a life-saving equipment, the crash barrier, and we need them replaced. And again, hopefully now that more pressure comes from councillors like myself and others to try and get the government to give us more money to invest in crash barriers around the county.
Okay, for now, thank you very much indeed. I'm sure there'll be widespread support for
thank
that
you.
At that meeting later. That's Councillor John Seamus O'Ferry there. And just looking at that video, we'll stick it on our socials as well, because the majority of you are not able to watch, obviously, because you listen. The imagery of that trampoline squashed is very, very troubling. Good morning. Can you announce that a road traffic collision on the Newton Road has happened just before Calais Junction? Yes, we're trying to just get some absolute clarity in relation to that and its location. But yeah, just if you're in that area till we get firm information, you know, just immediately after something like this happens, and thinking very much on those involved, and hopefully it's not serious. You know, the priority at that point is to get medicine in there, get medics in there and make sure everyone's okay. On the GEA, I wonder, could the Revenue Commission chase the dodgy boxes for taxation lost from Sky, the GEA, etc.? I wonder, could the Revenue Commission chase the dodgy boxers? That's the whole idea. That's what they're doing. That's what they're trying to do. Morning, Greg. I heard somewhere that the dodgy box people who get letters are subscribers to Sky Broadband. That's how they could see unusual behaviour. Maybe it's an urban myth, but it would sort of make sense. Yeah. I mean, they know what's going on, and the certain ports on a router they can block, and it's very likely that they are. But most of the TV suppliers now have a stake in the game, in the broadband game. There seems to be a crossover there. But listen, what they're trying to do with the help of the national media is trying to get some fear out there, so people desist from that activity. Right, now, unfortunately, we have seen another instance of vandalism at a school, and we're going to go to Mount Charles because Dara Diver is principal of St. Peter's National School. Good morning to you, and thanks for joining us. I'm sorry to be chatting to you about something negative with all the positivity that goes on at the school, but it's just to try and get the information out there, Dara.
Yeah, good morning, Greg. Thank you for having me.
So we were very
disappointed on Monday morning when we came into school. We saw that there'd been extensive damage done to our garden out the back. And I suppose just to give a bit of background to the garden, our garden is something we're very, very proud of. Years of work has gone into this garden and developing it for the children. And it's all down to we've one parent volunteer who comes in and spends countless hours in this garden. Everything has been done with the children. He comes in every week and he spends time sharing his knowledge with the children and the staff of the school. And he's a very, very valuable asset to our school. So we were heartbroken for Peter to see this yesterday morning. He happened to be here yesterday morning. He comes in every Monday on his day off to work with the children in the school. So we have a massive scope of area in our garden. We've got a woodland area where we have 119 native mature trees planted there, and it's a maze. There's wee paths everywhere. There's a pond at the bottom of it. There's a bug hotel. It's just a haven for biodiversity, and all this has been done through Peter's vision with the children. We've recently completed a survey of the garden for our Nature Hero Award application. So with that there, we've counted the trees, we've measured the length of the mature hedge grow habitat. We've collated all the evidence of trees, the types of trees we have in the school, and different things like that. So we've got a multitude of trees in the school, and all this has been completed with Peter.
So people with school going children or not will understand that an awful lot of effort's gone into this, a lot of buy-in, not just from Peter, but also, teachers and the students, because that's how we get them to understand and love the nature around them, isn't it? It's the amazing efforts that yous have done down there. So this happened on, is it Saturday night, Sunday morning, or what? Because in all the information I have, I don't actually have when it happened. So it was Saturday night into Sunday morning.
Yeah, it was Saturday night into Sunday morning. We've checked our CCTV. We've CCTV cameras at the front of the school that picked up three individuals on bikes. So they can be seen at 2:23 a.m. Saturday night, Sunday morning. We can see them cycling past the front of the school. They've pulled into the car park, the staff car park at the bottom of the school, just beside the woodland area. They went in the gate there, and they went through the woodland area. So some of the damage that was done, it's quite extensive. We have a pond down at the bottom corner of the woodland area where there was a fence around, for safety for the children who would be down. That there has been pulled up and thrown all over the place. We have a biodiversity bug hotel built in the garden as well. That's rooted in with posts, and it's big and it's heavy. That has been kind of broken and tossed over. There's been trees uprooted. There's been plants pulled. They've then continued around the back of the school. We can walk completely around the back of the school, towards the back of the yard. We actually have a chicken coop out there where we have some chickens. We hatched chickens in the school last year. We kept some of them for the children as well in the school. So there's a chicken coop out there.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the chicken coop was damaged as well. It was toppled over and the roof was damaged of the coop. Now, luckily, our chickens are okay. So at least that's something. They then continued on around the back to the right-hand side of the school here. And they damaged, we've raised beds, they damaged raised beds, they pulled up an apple tree, they've damaged other fruit trees, there was rhubarb growing that has been hit with sticks and bars and trampled over. And then one of the, I suppose, more disappointing things was they went into the polytunnel and everything in the polytunnel was smashed, the plants were pulled up, So it's just we're extremely disappointed now.
Like, staff, these types of crimes never make sense, but on the scale of not making sense, this is absolutely off the charts. They were in there for about 20 minutes. Yeah. What, the three of them just walking around kicking the crap out of plants? I mean, what's wrong with these people?
I know, it's a senseless act. So it is, it's a senseless act now. We're just very, very disappointed. The support and the outcry, I suppose, we've got from the local community too. We have people with CCTV cameras on the street at their homes that are looking through, and we can track these people, the three heading on bikes down the Durn Line area of top of Mount Charlotte. Yeah. So we have reported to the guards yesterday. We're hoping to appeal to the better nature of some of these people. Somebody must know something. And we'd be more than happy. You know, everybody makes mistakes, and we're aware of that. And if these people want to come forward and repair the damage they've done and apologise, we're happy enough to leave it at that. But if nothing comes of this, if nobody comes and kind of maybe owns up or, accepts responsibility for this, we're just going to hand everything over to the guards.
I think you're being very forgiving.
We've got our own CCTV and we've got, CCTV from neighbours, from people on the street and different things like that as well. So we would be hopeful that the guards would be able to do something, once everything is handed over to them. So we're just appealing to their better nature and asking them to come forward. We're asking maybe parents to have a chat with children. Like, these are what we think young teenagers who were out at this time on a Saturday night. So maybe the parents mightn't be aware that they were out at this time of the night. We're not sure, but I suppose we can't really speculate on that.
No, but what I can, whether you choose to or not, you're not going to cycle from Killybegs or Ardra or from Clare. These are three people on. Is it three or four? Sorry, three.
Three
people on push bikes, and there's good CCTV footage of them. They were out it's an unusual activity to be out cycling at that time of the morning. Just in relation to the poster you put up, then I take it that the image of the cyclists in that poster is a stock image, right? That's not from the CCTV,
it is.
Then.
Yeah, it's just...
Or it's a stock
image.
No,
it's just an AI image.
No, that's fine.
Yeah,
that's all
fine.
No,
to try and grab a bit of attention.
Of course, no, and you did,
but that's perfectly fine.
But you do have very good CCTV, and other people in the area who are outraged by this are scouring their doorbells, external CCTV. So in other words, the bottom line is if these people do not come forward and take responsibility and perhaps avoid the attention of the law and do the right thing, there's going to be evidence, really, that identifies them. It would be amazing if it didn't. So it's in their interest to come forward now.
Yeah. It is, because we've got our CCTV. Like, we've seen the colour of the coats they're wearing. Two were wearing dark coats, one was wearing a grey coat. The guards have the ability to, I suppose, clean up CCTV and zoom in a bit further than what we would have on our system here. So we would be hopeful that, they would be able to get faces and recognise these people if they don't come forward.
Right. Okay. I think it's just, I think you're being very gracious, and sometimes I'm accused of being too forgiving in these situations, and I think you're going to get that yourself, but I understand exactly where you're coming from.
I know, and maybe they might
learn something if they go in and see Peter doing what he has to do to get it to where it's at, and to understand the impact this has on the school and the children as well. Listen, Dara, thank you very much for joining us. If you have any other future positive initiatives, of course, please get in touch with us, and we'll be more than happy to chat to you and students. I don't want to just speak to you in the context of something negative, right? But it's just to get the info out there. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you very much, Greg.
Bye-bye. That's Dara Diver there, principal of St. Peter's National School, Mount Charlotte. A caller says, oh my God, how sad that the school garden in Mount Charlotte was so badly damaged. I sincerely hope that they are caught and dealt with. Brats, the listener calls them. Like, it's 20 minutes. It's to go in there for 20 minutes and to walk around the school, like, pulling up trees, pulling up fences, tossing the bug hotel, tossing the coop. Like, well, what is going on in people's minds? Like, there's no... did they have fun? I don't know. By the way, just an update. There was a collision in Burt or on the Burt Road this morning, but it wasn't serious and is clear now. That's the latest information I have. So it's still a very stressful experience. But I think given the recent instances and quite a number of collisions across the county, it has to be said over the weekend, and I'm not talking about the very tragic fatal collisions, but since then, Sunday, Monday, and now today, Tuesday, I've heard of reports of collisions in different parts of the county. So we're all on edge as soon as we hear the sirens going off, no doubt. We always are, but you know where I'm coming from, I hope. But that incident in Burt was minor, of course, very stressful for those involved, and has now been cleared, I am told. Now, as I say, back to some of your comments coming in on the road. The road outside Lunia National School in Gwydor is very dangerous, so busy, and cars speeding past when children try to cross for school. Something needs to be done to put ramps or lights or something to solve this issue to slow the cars down. Donegal County Council aren't giving us any help. They say there's no funding. And they're going to wait until, are they going to wait until someone gets seriously injured or more serious dying? Residents also on the road are very anxious as well, as they can't exit their lanes as there is a collision waiting to happen. Something needs to be done before it is too late. Staying with the roads, there's a bad oil spill at Iller, Derry Beg, I-O-L-L-A-R. Sorry, that's just a townland that I'm not familiar with, but if you are on the road, possibly you might be. The new four lane used to be a 100 kilometre road. Now it's 60 kilometres. People generally don't keep to 60. So that's the four lane just between the two roundabouts coming into Letterkenny from the Derry side. There were guards sitting taking speed. They will catch people out and fine them. The road's too slow for such a good road. It should be 100 kilometres per hour. Well, there was very extensive research done in relation to that, including a public consultation, and they set it at 60. 100, I think, would be way too quick for that. The other alternative would be 80, but that's not going to change at this point. And, you know, whilst everyone, if you did 100, then people go 110, 120. If you go 60, then people go 70 or 80. So I suppose you set it lower with the hope that it slows down the majority of traffic. An easy fix to speeding is to restrict all car speed limits to just above the speed limit. We do not need high-speed cars can do well over the speed limit. Plus, it would reduce CO2, which Ireland needs to do. GPS installed in cars voluntarily could be used to lower insurance costs too. That does happen extensively. And then they go on to say that most collisions happen at night, dusk and dawn, when we do our driving tests. That's not when we do them either. No, we don't, nor if there's any frost or ice. No, we don't do them then either. I think I think limiters on all cars is never going to happen. I know that might sound like something I'm going to have to eat my words on. I just feel that it's very, very unlikely, because the whole car industry is built on horsepower and stuff. I do think I'm starting to lean more towards the average speed cameras. I think that is a good option, and the technology is there, but we shall see. Drifting needs to stop. These events need to be stopped immediately. It encourages young people to go out and do this, says a listener. Roads have been destroyed with the donuts. The cars have no grip then due to the tyres being burnt out. They are then deaths on our roads and families are destroyed. Okay, I understand where you're coming from. And to the lobbyists, I was mentioning that Irish diplomats have been told to avoid the tobacco lobbyists. A caller says, geez, never mind the tobacco lobby. What about the dangers of alcohol and the devastating effect on the country? The Vintners Association is the strongest political lobby group in Ireland, with one third of all politicians' families having connections to the drinks trade. No uproar about that, strangely. Well, we really literally talk about that all of the time. In fact, that's really what we were talking about with Paula Leonard last week. So I understand maybe you're not talking about this show, maybe you're talking generally, but as I say, we do speak about that here all of the time, and the control the drinks industry exercises and how they use workarounds such as the massive Guinness and then little 0.0. They're advertising Guinness, right? But to all intents and purposes, they're advertising a non-alcoholic drink. What day is Donegal playing Kerry? Saturday or Sunday? They're on Saturday, aren't they? It is on Saturday, and I'll double check it. I'm not sure if that's accurate. I'll get my own information in relation to that. It is a Saturday throw-in, but I don't want to quote a map that I can't stand over. Tell Greg to say the alphabet backwards. It's helpful for getting to sleep. My mind is such that, thank you, by the way, I really appreciate it. It's that's not how my mind works. It just doesn't work like that, unfortunately. So your regular techniques for sort of shutting your mind down wouldn't work, like counting sheep or counting black backwards or stuff like that there, because something else kicks in. But it's grand. It is grand. Listen, no harm talking about it. Lots of people are in the same boat as well, aren't they? I would say. Moving on in the programme, and we're joined now by Cara Hunter, who is SDLP MLA for East Derry. Good morning to you, Cara. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You, of course, have taken a particular interest in, I suppose, the dating scene, Tinder, and the dark side of that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, recently I became aware of a young constituent of mine who has been the victim of a horrific scam, and it's really targeted towards vulnerable young people. And my constituent in particular has autism, and Tinder has been used in a very cruel and manipulative way to try and basically blackmail young men across Ireland, north and south, and make money off them through creating false materials of a sexual nature.
Yeah, as much as you can, tell us about the process of this scam that was related to you.
Absolutely. So it's a very sophisticated scam. So basically, this young man had been on Tinder, matched with what was a verified profile, and upon them matching, the individual in question, the perpetrator, had said, let's move to WhatsApp. Once on WhatsApp, they asked for a video call, which is just a video call chatting back and forth, not of a sexual nature. And from there, they essentially use AI to make it of a sexual nature, send the victim the video, and say that if they do not send the money immediately, then they will be sharing it with their family and friends. And the darkest part of this is, because they've matched on Tinder, because they followed you on platforms like Instagram, they have your full first and second name, they know who your friends are, they know who your family are, and that really adds to the victim's sense of pressure that they need to send that money as quickly as possible. It is just devastating, particularly for this young man and his family.
Yes, and in the case you talk of, artificial intelligence was employed, but we have heard in the past, and you know, sometimes it is the modern way of dating, you know, pictures have been exchanged, you know, or false pictures have been used to try and lure the victim into sending a compromising picture of themselves. So, you know, it can happen with real pictures or AI generated pictures. That's the problem with this.
Absolutely. It can be both. It can be real or fake images, which are used as a form of sextortion, which is the term to define this. And when I'm speaking with young people, I remind them, look, when you do this, whether the images are real, fake or altered, you know, you haven't done anything wrong, and that, you know, there is people out there who are there and keen to support you. In the North, I have to say the PSNI were exceptional, very understanding, very helpful for this victim. But we have seen a rise in this, which is really concerning. There's been over 1,000 cases involving blackmail using sexual images. And we have seen a complete soar when it comes to the use of AI abuse materials, particularly in Ireland. We've seen a 325% increase. And my concern as well is really focused on vulnerable young people keen to get out into the dating world and meet somebody. And these scams are so, so cruel in nature. And this young man that I was speaking with, he held this in from his family for 3 weeks. That's 3 weeks sitting alone with this secret, totally afraid. He was sending money, and eventually he had the confidence to speak up and share it with his parents. So it just shows there is a real isolation in these cases. And in this specific case, it was based in the Philippines. So numbers beginning with +63 is really where this was originating from, and just devastating.
You talk, of course, of the police response in Northern Ireland, in the Republic, even threatening to share these images, even if they were given with permission to the person receiving them. Even threatening them is a crime. And as I say, you reference the police response in Northern Ireland. I think really the real issue is here is empowering the victim to come forward in a timely fashion, because there can be some shame or embarrassment, or, you know, they might be fearful of being blamed themselves. And even as we discuss this, Cara, you know, people might be saying, well, why would you send pictures to a stranger, be they compromising or not? It is what it is. So how do we, I suppose, support and empower people who are receiving these threats to come forward sooner?
It's a fantastic question. I think for me, when speaking with this young person, I had said, you know, there's no blame and no shame. That belongs to the person trying to scam you. You're a victim of a crime here. And I think there really is a piece of work that needs to be done, both in our schools and even in our universities, to really educate our, particularly our young people. This can happen at any age, but I think there really is a naivety and a vulnerability in our young people. We need to really ensure in school we're sending out those messages about technology is advancing, whether it's real images or altered or fake entirely. Just be careful, because anything can be taken and twisted. And thankfully, now in the North, we have Safer Schools NI, who offer parents and young people guidance on how to be safe online, what scams to look out for, and if something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And now, this young person was out hundreds, over £1,000, and that's a significant amount of money for a young person of that age. And I think it's just really important, that message that you are not in trouble. There is people there to help you. And of course, I think it's the importance of us as elected representatives to ensure that we're getting in from a policy perspective to support our young people when it comes to online scams.
We've seen with the likes of ChatGPT, Gemini, and I suppose the laggards in this area, Grok stroke X, they can block the creation of inappropriate images. So somewhere out there, there are companies, because this is hosted somewhere, that are facilitating the creation of this type of imagery, and it could extend to child sexual abuse images. We know that. We've heard of cases locally here. I don't think our governments, our controllers in these spaces, can sit on their hands either, because we know AI companies can restrict the creation of this type of stuff, but clearly there are those out there that aren't.
I think what I've seen, you know, in my time as an elected representative, particularly over the past 6 months, has been rapid development of AI, particularly the Grok app, as you say. Sorry, that's our voting bell. But no, what I have seen over the past 6 months is the development of AI, and it's really, really concerning. What we have seen is the ongoing pressure it's put on our young people. The notification apps that currently exist cause me great concern, which is essentially click of a button and you can entirely remove clothes from an individual or put them in a dress down in underwear or in something like a bikini. And these kinds of images ruin lives. You know, we're talking ruined lives, ruined reputations. And it's a very cruel thing to do, particularly if you're young and in distress. So I think you're absolutely right. I think our social media giants have an obligation to protect our young people. I think these AI companies have a moral and a professional duty to do the same. And I think we need to be putting pressure to ensure we have adequate regulation so that people aren't victims of AI. It's a very cruel scam.
Okay. Cara Hunter, SDLP MLA for East Derry, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you so much for your time.
Bye-bye.
Really
look
appreciate
yourself.
It.
No problem. And I suppose really what we have to say is that, you know, if you are the victim of this type of a crime, and it does happen, you know, people can be enticed to send compromising images, or the images that could become compromising, or any images at all that could be faked with AI. And I suppose as parents, what we have to do is be aware that this happens, and maybe, you know, speak to our young people about sharing images of themselves, but also to having that sort of pathway for a conversation on it, whereby, you know, if they did find themselves in this situation, that they feel comfortable enough to come to us and mention it to us. Sometimes it's easier said than done, but this is the modern world. Many of us, many people listening to this show, crude Photoshops were the closest you would get to this in the past, but now with artificial intelligence, images and videos can be created that it's almost indiscernible from the real thing. And while thankfully this young lad, after 3 weeks, and you can only imagine the torturous 3 weeks of worry that they went through, after 3 weeks they did reach out, they did receive support. But unfortunately, I've heard of cases whereby people have taken their own lives as a result of these types of sextortion scams, as they are called. And it's people in far-flung places that have no interest or care about these young people's well-being. They're just looking to extort money from them. You would have seen the incident towards the end of last week. It was too late on Friday for us to mention. It was, I don't know how you would, you see quite a bit of this activity on TikTok, and I presume it was copied from that, whereby a group of students were seen cutting a fence to get access to Skullmora in Bonkrana, running around the place like Egypts with balaclavas on, bringing chickens in. I suppose they thought it was cool. I don't know what accounts for cool amongst young people nowadays. Just looked silly to me. But anyway, we got a further contact today from a listener, and it reads as follows. I would love to hear other parents, listeners' opinions on Skullmora Bonkrana cutting short this year's sixth year school year. The students have been sent an email saying to remain at home to study all this week, and that all fun leaving activities have been cancelled except a breakfast in the Inishon Gateway today and a mass on Wednesday. Us as parents have not received any emails informing us of any of this, only the students. On Friday, students were turned away at the gate and not allowed into school, with students even having signed in 1 minute late and then told to get out and leave the school. Again, parents not informed of any of this, and students were put outside a locked gate, roaming around with nowhere to go. This has all come to light after a few Leavers Day pranks happened last week, pranks which happened every year from every Leavers group. This particular year group were the first year of leaving primary school affected by COVID, and they did not get a leaving celebration then either. I find this brutally and highly unfair on this year group as a whole, especially those students who had nothing to do with these, as the listener describes them, pranks. Interested to hear what other people think. We got on to Skullmora just to get an official response for them. It reads, Skullmora has the welfare of its school community at the forefront of all decision making. The school at all times engaged with the 6 year students and their representatives to agree the end of the year celebrations. Management met with students over the weekend to finalise the plan, which included a celebratory breakfast, which took place yesterday, and a graduation ceremony planned for Wednesday, neither of which was cancelled. All arrangements were negotiated with the students and communicated to parents. The school will not compromise when it comes to the health and safety of all our staff and students. Right. Sarah Lorraine is a designer from Gwydor and owner of Sarah Lorraine Ireland. Sorry, she'll be joining me in a moment. I didn't realise that was she was going to be joining us in a different way, so I'll get to that in a sec. Just to remind you, by the way, of how you get in touch with us, 086 60 25000. That is the WhatsApp and text number, 086 60 25000. Or give us a call alternatively on 074 91 25000. Coming up a little later, by the way, we've got Community Garda information, where you hear the appeals and information from Angada Síochána first here on The Greg Hughes Show every single Tuesday morning. Back to the roads. Greg, I heard you read out about a country the same population as Ireland, thousands of speed cameras, twice the number of fatalities. It's driving behaviour that is the problem, and people driving under the influence. And it's also a lack of enforcement. It's time people call it for what it is instead of knee-jerk reactions to be seen to be doing something about it. And just to be clear, when we read those comments, they're not referring to any specific incidents. We're just talking about road safety as a whole. Sarah Lorraine, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. You must be on the top of the world. Sarah Lorraine's designer from Gwydor, owner of Sarah Lorraine Ireland, and who was our president, Catherine Connolly, wearing? She was wearing one of your designs. Congratulations, yesterday during her visit to London.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I'm absolutely delighted. So I am.
Talk to us about the outfit that Miss Connolly was wearing.
So the piece that she chose is called the Audrey, and it reflects everything Sarah Lorraine stands for: timeless tailoring, Irish heritage and craftsmanship of the highest quality. So I was absolutely honoured when she chose to wear one of my designs.
How does something like that come about, whereby, you know, the president meets your design?
Well, as far as I know, it was the president's sister. She had seen the Audrey two-piece featured in the Irish Times. So she had sent the president a photograph, and the president loved the designs. Her office reached out to arrange a fitting, and from there everything happened very naturally.
It is a very, very nice, very flattering. And this is your own design as well, is it?
That's right, yep.
Right, what's the material? Talk to me. I'm just for those listening that might want to go, wow, okay, well, talk to me more about this outfit.
Well, it's a beautiful tweed poly blend, and what's very special about it to me is the fact that it's made here in the Gaeltacht. So I run a course for dressmakers as well, and it's very important to me to keep that craft alive. And I suppose that's what really resonated with the president as well.
Yes, it's really quite fitting, isn't it? And supporting local industry, local materials, local talent. And it's
that's
just
right.
Fantastic that it was you.
Oh, I was so delighted. Like, for an Irish designer, dressing the President of Ireland is one of the highest honours imaginable.
Yeah, of course it is. And it's, I mean, obviously that in and of itself, but commercially as well. Like, it's a fantastic boot, no matter how successful a company is, you know, to have their designs platformed like this. It's a boost for any company, including your own.
I totally agree. It's a really important moment for the brand and for everyone who has supported us. I hope it highlights the strength of Irish fashion and the value of preserving traditional craftsmanship.
Talk to me about your business, Sarah Lorraine. Are you sort of low output, high demand, if you know what I mean, or what way do you operate your business?
Very much so. When it comes to the Made in Donegal line, we do really just make to order, which is what's so special about it at the moment, especially when you're working on a smaller scale as a brand. But the demand has definitely grown in the last number of months, and I'm expecting another bit of growth now after yesterday. So all in all, I'm just absolutely overwhelmed and over the moon, and I couldn't be happier because all the hard work is finally paying off.
Yeah, for sure. And as well too, you have in your mind, I'm sure, just as big as you want to go, that would fit with your ethos and your values.
Absolutely. Like, the luxury market is, there's definitely a big demand for it. I think people are really coming back to things that are made with quality, with craftsmanship, with care, and that's really been highlighted to me over the past year. So just the fact that I can see that, you know, the president and all the people who are reaching out to me, congratulating me, it's lovely. It's really, really nice.
Okay, so if I'm going shopping right and I pick out a suit, I'd look at the jacket and go, okay, I could actually wear that with something else. How would you feel if the president at another function teamed the jacket with something else? You'd be all right with that, would you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, versatility is so important. I mean, how could you say no?
Where can people find out more about your business, Sarah Lorraine?
Well, you can visit my website. It is sarahlorraine.ie. And we are also on socials, Facebook and Instagram.
Okay, brilliant. By the way, my dad was a tailor, right? And he made stuff to order. And there would be, you know, someone would come in, they'd be measured. Then down the line, there'd be a fit on and then the finished item, right? Did you fit this on? It's a brilliant fit on the president. Did you fit this on, or do you make it to our measurements that are supplied to you?
Yeah, we did. We went down to the Arras and we had our first fitting, which was lovely. And it was very nice as well, because I'd never been down there. So yeah, it was lovely. And she's very easy to work with too. She's a very intelligent and graceful woman. So yeah, that was lovely.
Yeah, what an experience walking in to Arras and Irkton with the fit on. A bit surreal.
Oh, it was fabulous. It's just such a privilege, really.
Did you get a
tour? She represents Ireland.
Did you get a tour?
I did, yeah. She gave me a tour, yeah.
Wow,
she's just so graceful. She's a lovely person.
Do you know what's interesting? And you can only get this through conversations, Sarah Lorraine, to find out the broader experience that you've enjoyed. You know, rather than it simply being the president wearing something that you made, which in and of itself is fantastic. But it's lovely to hear that you've had that whole experience associated. And really, the pictures that we're seeing is a culmination of a little journey you've been on, a significant journey. But it's nice to sort of get a sense of that.
That's exactly right. And for me, what was really special about it was making that connection with her as a person. You know, I feel that personal connection with her now. And cool. Yeah, it's really lovely.
Excellent. Well done to you. Thanks so much, Sarah Lorraine. Continued success.
Thank you so much.
Look after
Thank
yourself.
You very much.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
Bye-bye. All right. Isn't that a lovely string to have in your bow? Well done to Sarah Lorraine there. Check her out, sarahlorraine.ie. And for those of you watching, where is it here now? That's the... no, that's not it. Too many buttons to press. I'll get to it in a second. Oh, it's this one. There. She looks fantastic, in fairness. It's a beautiful, beautiful outfit. Right, so we'll stick that up on our socials as well. Just good to see Donegal being well represented, and I have no doubt Sarah Lorraine will be even more busier than she ordinarily was. Rightio, as you may well know, Highland Radio is running a trip to Westlife. It's on the 18th of September, and it's a sellout, but people's circumstances can change, and because of that, someone's had to give up two of their seats. But that means we have got two tickets available for you. So if you fancy joining the crew, that's all the Westlife fans and, of course, our staff here at Highland Radio, then you can grab those two tickets by giving us a call on 074 91 25000. And in case you're not aware of what these Highland Radio trips include, you don't have to worry about parking. You don't have to worry about driving. The drive back from these things can be an absolute blooming nightmare. It depends. Maybe you love driving. I hate it. Wouldn't it be nice just to sit your bum on a luxury coach, be driven down to your accommodation, which is beautiful overnight accommodation at the 4-star City Hotel or North Hotel. You get your breakfast the next morning, and then the standing tickets to the show as well. And then you get your bum back onto the coach and drop back to your car wherever you parked it. It takes all the hassle out of it. So there's only two tickets, by the way. I'm perhaps overselling this. If you want to join that trip to see Westlife, 074 91 25000. Megan on YouTube says, how can that amount of vandalism be a mistake? That was deliberate and not a mistake. And I think, and I get exactly where you're coming from. I think really maybe there's an opportunity for these three people to come in and learn something in this process. But look, the guards will get a hold of them one way or other. But I do very much take your point. Caroline commenting on that outfit, watching on Facebook. It is lovely. Kathy is watching us down in, where are you? It was Meath, wasn't it? And apparently down there it's very cold and wet in County Meath. Well, it's beautiful up here, Kathy, so I'm sorry to hear that. And it's only going to get better. It's not really beautiful.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, monitoring homes and businesses in the Northwest for intruder, fire, panic and medical signals. Call Sheridan Security on 91-26025.
Okay, it is Tuesday the 19th of May 2026, and it's time now for Community Garda information. And we're joined in studio today by Garda Grainne Doherty from Letterkenny Garda Station. Grainne, thank you very much for joining us.
No problem, thanks for having me.
Now, unfortunately, we are starting with appeals relating to what was a very, very tragic weekend on our roads.
Yeah, very tragic weekend indeed, Greg, and our thoughts, of course, are with everybody who lost loved ones on the roads over the course of the weekend. So we'll start with our first appeal. So Gardaí are renewing their appeal for witnesses following a fatal two-vehicle road traffic collision that occurred on the N15 at Birch Hill, County Donegal, on Saturday the 16th of May. Gardaí and emergency services were alerted to the incident involving two vehicles shortly after 2 p.m. Two men in one of these vehicles, aged in their 20s and 30s, were pronounced deceased at the scene. Two other occupants of that same vehicle, a man and a woman in their 20s, were taken to Letterkenny University Hospital for treatment of injuries believed to be non-life-threatening. Two occupants from the other vehicle, a man and a woman in their 40s, were brought to Letterkenny University Hospital for treatment of non-life-threatening injuries. So Gardaí are appealing to anybody who might have witnessed this collision to come forward. Road users who may have camera footage, including dash cam, and who were travelling in that area between 1:30 p.m. and 2:30 p.m. are asked to make this footage available to investigating Gardaí. Anybody who was at the scene and who has not yet spoken to Gardaí are asked to please make contact with us. Anybody with any information are asked to contact Donegal Town Garda Station on 074 974 0190, the Garda Confidential line on 1800 666 111, or any Garda station, and investigations are ongoing.
Okay, and also an appeal in relation to the fatal collision in Moff.
Yes, Gardaí are appealing for witnesses following a fatal single vehicle road traffic collision that's occurred on the R238 at Ardmore Moff on Saturday the 16th of May. The collision involving a car occurred at around 9:45 p.m. The driver and the only occupant of the car, a man in his 20s, was brought by ambulance to Atnagalvin Hospital and he was later pronounced deceased. Gardaí are appealing for any witnesses to this collision to come forward, and road users again who may have camera footage, including dash cam, and who were travelling on the R238 at Ardmore Muff between 9:30 p.m. and 10 p.m. are asked to make this footage available to Gardaí. Anybody with any information are asked to contact Bunkrana Garda Station on 932 0540, and again the Garda Confidential line on 1800 666 111, or any Garda station.
And of course, you know, I mean, obviously these types of appeals are critical to the investigation, but in case anyone out there maybe feels they don't have the time or it's not the right, it's incredibly important for the families of the deceased as well, who, as we all would want to know the exact circumstances of it. So you're helping the investigation, and if you have information or you haven't come forward yet, you're also potentially helping the families of those who died.
Yes, and if you were on that stretch of road at all between any of those times with a dash cam, and as you often do say, you know, it's not a matter for yourself to have to go through that footage, drop it into us and we'll go through the footage then, and we'd be very appreciative.
And you can have a scan through it, yep, and that's what the Gardaí are there for. They will take your footage, and if there's anything useful, we'll take that and then give you back your memory card or however you store that information. Right, now, we are also looking for witnesses in relation to an incident, a road traffic collision on May 13th.
Yes, this road traffic collision involved a pedestrian and a vehicle, and it occurred at Main Street, Ballybofey, so near the junction with Glenfinn Street, on Wednesday the 13th of May at approximately 8:40 a.m. The pedestrian was taken to Letterkenny University Hospital to receive treatment for non-life-threatening injuries. No other injuries were reported. If anybody witnessed this collision, we're asking them to contact Ballyshannon Gardaí on 071-985-8530. Again, as always, we're appealing for dash cam footage. If anybody has that, please make it known to us. It's quite a busy time of the morning, so we're hopeful that somebody may have dash cam footage or may have observed what occurred.
Okay, for sure. Right, now, Gardaí investigating a worrying incident in Rathmullen.
Yes, Gardaí, you're investigating an incident. It's believed to have occurred at Rathmullen Abbey Ruins at Wesleyan Street, Rathmullen, on Saturday the 9th of May, between approximately 5:30 p.m. and 6 p.m. A fight is believed to have taken place between a number of male youths at that location. One of these youths sustained injuries, non-life-threatening in nature. He had to attend Letterkenny University Hospital to receive medical treatment following this incident. So we're appealing to anybody who might have dash cam footage from that area or any other type of footage from the area between those times to get in touch with Gardaí in Milford on 91-53060.
Right, now, burglary down in Mount Charles.
Yes, this burglary occurred in the area of Stone Park, Mount Charles, between Monday the 11th of May at 6 p.m. and Thursday the 14th of May at 7 p.m. The rear bedroom window of a house in that area was smashed. Entry was gained to the house. A number of items of clothing, aftershave, costume, jewellery, handbags, items like that were stolen from the house. So we're appealing to anybody who might have observed any type of suspicious activity, vehicles, people in that area between those dates, to please contact Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071-985-8530, and again the Garda Confidential line 1800 666 111.
Okay, a theft incident in Dunfanaghy next.
Yes, this incident occurred at Main Street, Dunfanaghy, in the early hours of Thursday the 14th of May in around 1 a.m. So a wooden shed at a business premises at that location was entered after the door was forced open and a sum of cash was stolen from within. We're particularly interested in hearing about any sightings of two youths in the area around that time, and one was wearing a white top, one was wearing a black top, and they had their hoods up. We're appealing to anybody who might have travelled in that area with a dash cam between midnight and 2 a.m. to make the footage available to us. Again, if anybody has any relevant information, we're asking them to contact Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071-985-8530.
And as difficult as it may be, you know, and I'm sure it does happen with these appeals that maybe someone listening recognises the outfits that two people they knew or know were out in that evening. So, you know, I mean, it can be a tough call to make, but it's the right call to make. 071-985-8530. Right. Now, there was a theft incident in Creaslet at the Ard Forest Park, right?
Yes, this theft incident occurred at Ard Forest Park, Creaslet, on Saturday the 16th of May between 5:30 a.m. and 7:15 a.m. So a car was parked up. Somebody, the owner of the car, went for a walk. The owner returned to their car and they discovered that the rear window had been smashed and a Kenwood dash cam had been stolen from within the car. So we're appealing to anybody who might have been in that area, who might have observed any type of suspicious activity, to get in touch with Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071-985-8530, and of course again dash cam footage from the area, as with all our appeals.
Yeah, for sure. And it's an interesting one, because obviously, you know, we do see quite a bit of this activity in the summer, and often it's, you know, maybe you've left a wallet or something on show. The irony here almost is that they broke in to steal a dash cam, which is often what we're looking for.
It has to be on show,
It has to be on show, isn't it? But maybe it was just opportunistic and isolated, you'd hope it was. Now, just to mention, and I'll mention just at the end of this item as well, there's a lot of instances, a lot of dates and a lot of times, and it can be hard to track them sometimes. And that's why we podcast the programme, of course, from 11:30 on our website. But also the video of this conversation me and Grainne are having is going to be available on Highland Radio's Facebook page and on Garda Síochána Facebook page a little later on, just in case you want to check any information that you may have missed. You can always give us a call here at the radio station and we can pass it on to you. But just to let you know, because I'm mentioning it at the end every time, and sometimes it can go over one's head. Right, now, if you're unfortunate enough to get something stolen from you, maybe a big piece of machinery or a boat engine or whatever it might be, often the struggle is when Gardaí, as they routinely do, find property, it's getting it back to the owner. You can't simply say, well, I have a blue trailer, because there's lots of blue trailers, so you need to be able to identify it as yours. And that's why the latest property marking event is so important, Grainne.
Yes, and we do have quite a few people actually contacting the station regularly, looking, you know, inquiring as to when the next property marking event is taking place. So the next one is taking place at Glenside Business Park on the Glenfin Road, Ballybuffet, on Wednesday the 20th of May between 6:30 p.m. and 8 p.m. And it's a good opportunity to permanently mark your trailers, tools, bikes, etc. with your air code. You can mark laptops, mobile phones. There's so many items that you can mark. Everybody's very welcome to come to this event. We would just ask them to make sure that they have their correct air code with them.
Yep, of course. And just so you know, did you not mention, you can mark metal, carbon fibre, wood, plastic, and you do it in a discreet area that would be hard to find. And then if this stuff turns up in Meath, let's just say, Kathy's listening down in Meath. If it turns up in Meath, it means that Gardaí can instantly say, right, well, that's where that came from. Right, so bring your air code with you. That's the critical piece there, because otherwise it could be a neighbour or something it ends up with.
And we can visibly mark it too. You know, sometimes people like to, have it marked. Say for instance, maybe a trailer, they like to have it marked in a discreet location on the trailer, but then also they like to have it marked on maybe visibly, you know, so that you can see, you can see. So maybe
see the logic
it acts
of that.
As a deterrent also,
100%, yeah, okay. Right now, Garda recruitment campaign is ongoing.
Yes, the Garda recruitment campaign opened up on Monday the 11th of May. It'll remain open until Wednesday the 3rd of June at 3 p.m. So if you want to apply, go to publicjobs.ie. A Garda recruitment information stand will be held today, actually, at Letterkenny Shopping Centre between 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. and at the Courtyard Shopping Centre next Tuesday between 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. So everybody's very welcome to call into those events, either of those events.
Is this the one that you specifically could have an interest in music?
Yeah, there's
Would you not be interested in whipping out your tin whistle and doing a tour with the Garda band yourself?
I would, but I don't think anybody would be interested in listening to it. actually, this year, yeah, if you have
I can see you landing up with your tin whistle going, please, Commissioner, can I join the band?
I don't know now how lucky you'd be with that request, but there's actually, there's an aspect to the recruitment campaign this year that you can indicate that, you know, if you have a musical talent, that you can apply to join the Garda band.
It's all part of it.
Following your probationary period,
Now, so that's that. Now, firearms license holders, there's a day of action coming up, and we've been talking quite a little bit of late about renewing your gun license and the importance of doing it in a timely fashion, because if you don't and you go there can be a delay, and there's a window whereby you have a firearm and no license, you are technically in illegal possession of a firearm, which, you know, it's not insignificant, right? But anyway, talk to me more about this event the Milford Gardaí are hosting.
Yeah, so I was contacted actually yesterday by Milford Gardaí. So they want to issue an appeal to all firearm owners in the Milford and surrounding areas to immediately verify that their firearm certs are valid and in date. So a number of owners have either failed to renew their documents or complete payment of their licence. And as a result, as you said, they're holding weapons illegally. So a day of action is planned for the 26th of May. Gardaí, you're appealing for people to ensure that their licence is fully up to date before that date. So possessing a firearm or ammunition with an expired cert is a criminal offence. And Gardaí are urging immediate compliance to avoid prosecution and weapon seizure. Now, this goes across the board, across the
county. So just in relation to that, so say people might go, well, do you know what, I don't need it anymore. it's a family heirloom, so I'm not going to renew it. I'm just going to put it in a cupboard somewhere, or I'm going to stuff it into the attic. Firstly, there is a register that they at one stage did legally hold a firearm, but it's not that casual. You have to, in terms of storage and what have you, you have to actually legally... that item, that example I gave, store it with a registered firearms dealer.
Yeah, and that's quite common. A lot of people do hold on to firearms, maybe that their father owned, their grandfather, and it's a family heirloom. And as you said, they don't wish to use it, but they want to keep it in the family. So if you are in possession of a firearm that you no longer wish to hold, or if it's passed down as a family heirloom, contact a registered firearm dealer storage. You may legally secure your firearm with these people, with these registered firearms dealers. The dealer will provide you with a receipt then for that firearm, and then you take that receipt then to the Garda station and ask for the firearms officer. So in this instance, it's Garda Pauline Murphy is the firearms officer in Milford. And I believe she said that if anybody wishes to contact her directly at Milford station, if they have any queries in relation to renewing, or as you said, if they have a firearm in their family that they no longer wish to get a licence for, but they wish to retain, they can contact Pauline at Milford Station on 915-3060.
And yeah, just Gardaí are actively visiting addresses with lapsed certs to secure and seize unlicensed firearms. So you will get a knock if you don't act up, act on that. Right, yeah. Now, exciting times, because I think it's an event that's always been important, but it certainly feels like it's grown over the recent number of years to become a really important part in the calendar. And that is the annual Donegal Garda Youth Awards. And they're being launched now.
Yeah, this is the launch now. So the annual Donegal Garda Youth Awards. Very exciting. Actually, do you know what? We've had a lot of people too this year. It's great to see.
Inquiring
about farms. Fantastic. Already for young people that they know. Brilliant. Who've done great work. So it's great. And we're urging those people, please do drop in for a farm.
I'll give you an award if you speak into that microphone.
I'm sorry now. I think it's hard to sit still.
It's fine.
I'm jittery in the seat. But yeah, so the annual Donegal Garda Youth Awards. They celebrate outstanding young people between the ages of 13 and 21 from throughout Donegal. So Gardaí in Donegal, in conjunction with Supermax and the Abbey Hotel in Donegal Town, recognise that a lot of good work is being done by young people in every community in Donegal. And I don't think anybody would dispute that. You know, we see great acts being done on a daily basis by young people. So awards will be considered for nominated young people who by their presence make their communities a better place to live in. The nomination process is open as of now. And we're urging the public, please do nominate a young person or a group of young people if you know that they're making a difference in their community. So there's four separate award categories: the Individual Award, Group Award, Special Achievement Award and Community Safety Award. You can get a nomination form from any Garda station. You can email dg.gardayouthawards@garda.ie, and you can download it from the Garda website at garda.ie. And you can also get a form in Irish if you request that. We can facilitate that for you.
Yeah, and it's just a big boost to young people to be recognised. Every young person that is nominated is recognised. And, you know, we've seen finalists last year who are doing amazing things with an older community in their area. We had a lifesaver from Tory. And it's not overly prescriptive, but it's fantastic for these people to get that recognition. It's a great boost for them and their self-esteem, you'd hope, if it's not already where it needs to be. And also, too, down the line for the CV, you know, it is a very, very important thing. So I can't emphasise enough the importance of, if you've got a young person in your life and you think, you know what, you're a cracking young person and you're doing this or you're doing that, then get the nomination form. Get it in and get them recognised. Yeah. Why not, you know?
Don't just assume somebody else has sent the form in. As you say, 100%. If you recognise this work's been done,
please. It's a wee bit of effort. And I know you're very passionate about it. And if anyone has any questions, they can contact you. And you also said dg.gardayouthawards@garda.ie, where you can download a form as well. If you email that, you'll get a form in return. Is
at any Garda station either. Okay. And you post it back into me, Garda Grainne Doherty, Letterkenny station, or else you can email it back to that address also. You have to have the nomination in by 12 p.m. on July 7th. That's the deadline to enter. Oh, an award ceremony will, as you know, you come, and thank you again this year for being to MC your event. An award ceremony will take place later this year in the Abbey Hotel. And as you already stated, everybody gets recognised at that night, and it is a lovely night. It's a lovely event, a great night, very proud night for them and their families.
Supermax down in Donegal Town have rolled in behind it. Is this their third or second year?
Supermax, no, this is their third year.
Phil's third, right, and the Abbey roll in too. And it's over those 3-4 years, it's grown and grown into actually a really great night. Have we roped Kevin in yet? Is that my job?
That's your job.
Okay, I'll sort
and you know what?
Out.
A wee word of thanks to Supermax and the Abbey also. We're very grateful for their help.
I literally just did that because you forgot.
Well, no, I was leaving the best till last.
Okay, well, you better mention me then.
I already thanked you.
Okay, Garda Radio, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Greg.
I really do
thank
appreciate
you.
It. That was Community Garda information for this Tuesday, the 19th of May, 2026. It's back live after the 10 o'clock news next Tuesday. And as I said a little earlier on, you can listen back on the podcast or watch back on our Facebook page, on Garda Síochána O'Connor Facebook page, a little later on today. Now, we're joined on the programme by Councillor Micheál Colum Magalhães-Espa. Good morning to you. Thank you for your time.
Good morning, Michael. Greg, much invited. I'm glad you're here today.
Now, you were obviously, and still remain, I'm sure, one of the key supporters of President Catherine Connolly. Now, she met yesterday with Britain's King Charles, and she's invited him to Ireland next year for a state visit, which the President said Charles has graciously accepted. This is progress, isn't it?
Well, depends who definition of progress is coming from. I certainly don't see it as progress. I see it as another step towards normalising our relationship with one of our nearest neighbours, which isn't a normal relationship, considering the very fact that a part of our island is still under a military occupation, which he is the head of state, and he is one of the royal families who has overseen some of the most brutal killing in the occupied six counties, for example, the Shankill Road, Ballywarfy, Muihinnera, and there has been other cases. Actually been reading a fair bit of stuff online lately about other incidents where the paratroopers have murdered others, and Craig and Clegg and the likes of that, that sometimes, unfortunately, it goes out of our memory. So the idea that a king of a foreign country, and we need to have a discussion around that thinking, that very outdated, dinosauric way of organising community and look from a class perspective, not just in terms of the occupation of part of our island, but also from a class perspective and the working class in England, which we know are very open by majority to some of the last statistics that I looked at, are very opposed to that very undemocratic way of appointing a head of state.
Do you believe in your lifetime that we will see a vote on a United Ireland?
No,
really?
I don't. And to be honest with you, I'm kind of that pulled on a vote on the United Ireland, and I know that kind of comes from a contradictory position, considering that I know in 2014 I went to Scotland because my mother is Scottish and half my family live in Scotland at the lowlands of Dumfries, and I went over to participate and support the SNP and their call and their cry and their fight for independence. But for me, I don't think we will. I think the union is stronger now than it has ever been. At the end of the day, I don't see why should we be asking a foreign country to allow us a democratic
vote. Well, we can't go because I understand where you're coming from.
About unification.
I get you, but we can't. We can't. I understand, but I get where you're coming from. But the truth is we are not going to fashion an army and drive the Brits out of Northern Ireland, right? So the only way, and I say that in inverted commas, so the only way that Ireland can become united once again is through a border poll, a referendum. That's the reality. Otherwise, we just sit in the status quo. They are a military might. We are a quasi-neutral country. So the only way a 32-county Ireland can be achieved is with a border poll stroke referendum. So, but you don't support that, which is confusing to me.
Well, look, I'm more than happy to have to come on your show and have the conversation around the border poll. I'm more than happy to at any stage to have that discussion. But I suppose going back to why
I don't want to interrupt you. Yeah. The reason I went down that lane, because my next question I was going to ask you, because to be honest with you, I presumed that you were going to say yes, was that is part of what Catherine Connolly is doing now to, you know, to build those relationships where we perhaps will transition to a 32-county Ireland. They are our nearest neighbours. You know, they are our friends, aren't they?
No, they're not.
The people of England are.
The people of England are not the friends of anyone who's Republican.
Yes, but the people of England, Scotland and Wales are our friends. The people are.
And the working class are. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
We have to deal with the people, even if we don't like them, to get what we want. No.
Well, look, I have huge difficulty coming from a class perspective, and also coming from a Republican perspective, that we're looking to an unelected person who swallows up a huge percentage of the working class's taxes just to flourish their own lifestyle, that they are born into wealth. And for anybody really that wants to sit down and break that down, anybody that believes in democracy, democracy is a form that, agree or disagree with it, at least you have some sense of electing somebody that's going to be the head of state. Like, so Catherine Connolly,
I understand where you're coming from, but you literally campaigned, and I know you've referenced this, for Catherine Connolly to go and live in a massive big house in Dublin with butlers and maids and servants and everyone to follow her beck and call. If she walked into this studio now, there's a certain way in which I'm supposed to address her and greet her and be deferential to her. You know, I mean, it's a vote away from a royal family. You know, that's all it is.
I think the two of them are very, very different.
Even though I support Catherine
and obviously came out very strongly in support of Catherine, as many others did around her election, to try to get a left alternative voice, because I mightn't share all of her politics, but I share quite a high percentage of her politics. But again, pulling back to what we came on the show to talk about, was the head of England, which is unelected, outdated system of royals, and even the working class of England would oppose it. And again, the very fact that he is the head of a military that occupies a part of our island.
And is trying to avoid taking responsibility, of course. You must be of the view, surely, if you wanted to get someone of the left into this what people might see as an elected royal position, because, you know, they're in a big castle and all that kind of crack. Have you lost faith?
No,
yeah, it is. Have you been
same,
down there? It is. Listen, Arison Uachtaráin looked like it was dragged out of the grounds of Buckingham Palace. There's so much British influence in that building. It's unbelievable. It's set out as...
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, okay. So that's what I'm talking about.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Right? It's still affected.
And it's really unfortunate.
Yeah.
It's really unfortunate when the Free State was formed that the counter-revolutionaries like Fine Gael, like de Valera, had looked again towards their English master to mimic themselves on that.
Yeah, we do it in the courts too. So my point is this, though. Is it not a case that when we reach out the hand of friendship, that's what we need to do, Micheál Colum, and that respectfully, that you are so resolute and hardline in your views, which you stand over, and that is perfectly, you're entitled to, and I'm not criticising that, that you can't see the potential benefits of this, even as hard a pill it is to swallow, that reaching that hand across the Irish Sea is the best way to achieve what most might want to achieve on this island.
On a regular basis, through my politics and friendship that I have with working class people in England, I have no problem in shaking hands and being a part. And I have been of campaigns that the working class in England, look, as a young fella, I remember the mining strikes. As a young fella, I remember the poll tax strikes. So I have no problem in showing solidarity and shoulder to shoulder with other working class people. But I dismiss the fact that it's the hand of friendship. How would it be a hand of friendship when you have a military might that occupies a part of our island, that our youth in the Creggan, or need that be on the Falls Road or Strabane or other parts, are seeing militia armed to the teeth, kicking in doors, political prisoners north and south, the imperialist England still holding a grip on the neck of the Free State government, considering when you look at the push for us to join NATO, to get rid of our triple lock, their economic model, which is mirrored the same. So it is not a hand of friendship, because friendship is based on equals, and that we are not equals.
Understood.
With the Empire of England.
So I suppose my last question to you really will, for me, indicate how principled you are in relation to this. Do you still support President Catherine Connolly?
Look, I suppose, to be very honest with you, and I have to answer this very, very, very clearly and honestly, I'm struggling with it. I'm struggling hugely with it. I've probably been more focused on the fact that her sister Margaret is now being abducted.
No.
You asked the question. Let me answer it. And I'm not trying to dodge it. I've been more focused on the likes of poor Margaret and the others the last day or so. Been bouncing back with the councillor, her husband, Declan Bree, and Dan, the likes of this. And it was late last night when I saw it. To be honest with you, and there's no point in me lying, very disappointed.
Did you hear a comment? She says, I was busy in London and I was busy meeting Prince Charles, so I wasn't able to, or King Charles, I wasn't able to sort of track the situation as it relates to.
I didn't see that. Okay. I haven't seen that.
Okay, so you are on the fence. There's an old saying.
On the fence? What? Sorry, because you do break
your,
up.
In your support line for Catherine Connolly, there's an old saying in English that you can't be a little bit pregnant, right? Are you a little bit in support of Catherine Connolly still, or not in support of Catherine Connolly? Do you feel she's sold out your support?
Well, look. As somebody, I like to think I am very principled, and as a Republican and a staunch Republican, but also as somebody who's a communist, it doesn't mean that I also fully 100% believe everything that Stalin or Lenin stood for. You take bits for what's relevant of your time and what's relevant to your community, and you work with the likes of that there. Catherine Connolly on her position on neutrality, Catherine Connolly on her position on women's rights over their own bodies. There are many things that I supported Catherine Connolly on and will continue to support her on, but there are many other things that I can't support, and this is
okay.
One of them.
Well, listen, I always enjoy speaking to you because whether people agree or disagree with you, you have your point of view and you stick by it, and that's why our conversation
can
often
seems
quite... You have to be very bold, because I've very short in time. Go ahead.
Saturday night, Skibble Fubble, 7 o'clock. There's a fantastic film, Palestine 36. Great speakers and fantastic food. Good morning, good.
Slánga fóill. By the way, we're about to go off air, but still text us in WhatsApp. If you had your phone out, you said, right, I was listening to Councillor McGillan Aspect there. I've got this point of view. Just because we're coming to the end of the show doesn't mean that you can't text in, because those texts then are carried into tomorrow morning's show. And we have some, of course, that we are going to be carrying over as well. So just to remind you, 086 60 25000, that's the WhatsApp and text number, or 074 91 25000.